this is our time of our service where you take our offering, but we don't pass around the, what's it called again? The plate. Wow, I should have had a nap or something. Anyways, it's in the back. We collect our offering a few ways. You can see on screen there, there's ways to give. And we appreciate your giving, no matter how big or small. And if you're interested in giving, just call the office and we can get you set up there as well. And we're going to spend some time in prayer together here before we dive into this sermon. I'm not sure what's been going on in your life these days. If you're excited about the summer coming up or there's things been going on that have been hard for you, I hope that you are in a good space this morning. And if you're not, that the Lord is continuing to lead you and guide you and direct you, and that you haven't given up, you haven't decided to walk away from the faith or anything like that, that you continue to lean into Jesus, the scriptures, and who he is in our lives. It's not easy to follow Christ, and it's difficult at times, and yet we know that God is still good, and in the midst of our difficult circumstances, to recognize what he's done in the past and what he'll continue to do into the present day and into the future as well. And so please keep that in mind as you continue to go by your day-to-day as you follow the Lord. And again, if you are trying to figure out or understand who Christ is, this is a good place to be, to understand that, to ask questions. And if you have those questions, feel free to ask me or anybody you see up here or anybody else that's involved in the church or a friend that you brought you here. Ask some questions too, because it's good to ask those questions about faith and what it means. And I say this often, following Christ and understanding who he is and giving your life to him in faith and accepting what he's done for us is the greatest and the most important decision that you will ever make. So keep that in mind. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for this morning. Thank you that we've been able to gather, and for those here physically and for those watching online as well, that you continue to lead us and the things that are happening in our lives that are challenging and difficult. And I pray, Jesus, that for those folks who are struggling physically today and that just need a healing hand, I pray, Lord, that you would do that for them, that you would bring them mercy and strength and peace as well, and encourage them in the midst of some challenging physical and other ailments as well, that you would just lead and people would just recognize that you are walking with them, even when the world around them seems to be shattering or perhaps a relationship that is broken or there's some uncertainty to the future and some of the anxiety that comes with that. I pray, Lord, that as that anxiety is so real, that we'd be able to continue to take steps forward and not allow the anxiety to hold us hostage. And so, Lord, for those who are struggling there, that they'd find places of solace in you and other resources in their life too, and that they'd find what they need. And I pray for encouragement for the elections, Lord, that are coming. And we ask, Lord, that your will would be done, that you would again lead each candidate and give us wisdom and as we vote and we commit just what's coming up to you, the unknown of all of it. And Lord, I know it's easy to see what's happening and to look at leaders. Can we trust them? And what do they stand for? And where are they at? And what do they stand with you? Do they have any faith? And we ask all these questions. And I know it can be difficult to discern. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray you'd give us that, just a deep sense of discernment on how to vote, and that you'd lead our leaders, that you would give them wisdom, that you'd give them our governmental leaders just what they need. And again, I say this often, Lord, and we pray that you would allow those who are Christ followers to stand up for you in such a way that they would not be embarrassed or ashamed, that their platform would be the gospel. And when they receive ridicule, when they receive attack, that you would protect them and their families, that they would know what they're doing and saying is right, and they would not do in a way of judgment or condemnation or arrogance. But it would be done in such a way of humility that it would draw people, because there's a sense of knowing full well that this person is leaning in towards you and not in their own strength. So Jesus, we ask for healing in our nation, healing in this world, and I pray, Lord, that you would open the floodgates where people will come and understand the gospel and give their lives to you. And there would be such a crying out for you. A world is dark, our world is evil in many ways. And there's things we read and see on the news that we just shake our heads, and oftentimes it brings us to our knees and to tears as well. Lord, we know the enemy has a foothold, and I pray that you would allow the faith of Christ's followers to invade that darkness and that more territory be taken back for your kingdom. Thank you for the rain we've had recently, Lord. We're grateful. Thank you for everybody in the front lines that are still working hard. We're not out of the woods literally yet. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to bring the rain. And thank you for the people that are working hard behind the scenes in Yellowhead County, in the town of Edson, people in the offices, people on the front lines, people in the hospitals, everywhere. So we ask, Lord, you continue to bring rain and in the midst of what's going on, a sense of peace as well. I thank you for new life. I thank you for Adeline. I thank you that she has good parents in Ryan and Heidi. And I pray as Adeline grows up that she would already know the power of the Holy Spirit in her life. And she would just recognize that there's a joy and a hope here in this building. Not because of the building, but because of your presence. And so we pray, Lord, that she would be blessed and encouraged. And I thank you for Ryan and Heidi. Give them lots of wisdom, too, as they parent. And there's so much joys, and there's also heartaches when it comes to being a parent as well. And I pray, Lord, in those days where it's hard and tiring, that you give them strength. And Adeline would continue to grow, and she would hear the praises of your people. And then help us as a community to come around her as well, and to support other families, too, that have newborns, and as best as we can. So, Lord, lead us now. I thank you for this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been leaning through a series called Listen Up Church. We've been taking some pauses here and there as well because of different circumstances that have come up, and we'll be doing that over the course of the next few weeks as we enter into the summer. I encourage you to listen to the sermons online if you haven't done so. There's some good conversations that have come place out of what we've been talking about as well. So we want to be able to do that. So today we're looking at the sermon title is called Grace Alone. And we're going to be looking at Galatians 1, verses 6 to 10. And as we look at this letter from Paul, as he begins this conversation, Galatians, with a brief but a beautiful explanation of what the gospel message is, the good news about Jesus. And as I said earlier, Jesus gave his life to pay for our sin. And it's something we need to understand. He was our substitute of atonement, meaning essentially that Jesus took our place on the cross for the penalty of our sin. Now, Paul is writing to the Christians in Galatia to stop them from following a false gospel, a false teaching known as the Judaizers. That's what's going on here. And this group came in after the Galatians, who believed in the true message of the gospel. And all of a sudden, the gospel is being changed. And it's being taught in a different manner where it's not actually the true gospel. And it's something to recognize, as Paul warns the folks here in Galatians. It's a warning for us today, too, where we live and the things we watch and we hear about, how the gospel has been twisted in this world we live in. And unfortunately, churches have done that. They've watered down the gospel. They've made it more convenient for us versus the reality of our brokenness. And we're going to dive into that a little bit. So, and to understand that we are saved because of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. There isn't the law that we follow. There isn't anything like that. We aren't trapped in our works. We don't work our salvation out by doing things. And Paul addresses these things here, and it's a great reminder for us, too, as we consider these things in our day-to-day life. So Galatians 1, verses 6 to 10. I'll read that now. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed, which essentially means doomed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one who received, let him be accursed. For I am now seeking the approval of man or God, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. So that's what the verses talk about here. And it's interesting here that Paul's asking that question about who he's serving and that he is a servant of Christ. So let's look at, as we look at verses 6 and 7, Paul's actually quite amazed that these folks have suddenly, the Galatians have deserted their faith. And there's a military term in there you can use, as I said, they deserted. They become traitors in some fashion. They've actually become turncoats from the gospel of grace. And Paul is astonished by that. So imagine Paul seeing this and saying that we're astonished because he's seen so many things. And for him to be seeing what's going on troubled his heart. And these folks were deserting God. They were walking away. They're turning their backs on God. And it's almost, for Paul, beyond his comprehension to understand what's actually going on. And these folks are actually going back to a religious prison versus the freedom that comes in Christ. Now, Paul calls the Judaizers, as I mentioned before, a blend of the law and grace, a different gospel. Okay, they're basically taking the law and mixing in the truth of the grace of the gospel and putting it together and distorting the truth of what was actually going on. They're twisting what was happening. And so we recognize this at the Galatian church. There are people getting baptized. There are people getting saved. And the teachings basically started essentially like this, that they believed in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, the Savior of the world, that he was the Messiah, the chosen of Israel who died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead. And they would have believed that we must repent from our sins and trust in Christ to be saved. Now, what's going on here, these teachers were frustrating Paul because they were essentially using the same terminology that Paul was using as well, but they were twisting things around. They were adding something to the gospel. And Paul was not obviously appreciating that, and nor should we. They were talking about how we need to keep the law in order to follow Christ. We need to keep the law of Moses to follow Christ. You need to be circumcised to know the full gospel as well, to know those things. And that's what's going on here. And the circumcision part is this religious work. It's an act of submission and obedience to the law. And yet people are saying that in order to find faith, you have to be circumcised. And there's conditions put on the gospel that you have to do certain things. You have to jump through certain hoops to be a Christ follower. Now, we actually do that in our churches these days as well, to a certain extent. We can ask people to jump through certain rules and do certain liturgies or worship a certain way or dress a certain way or act a certain way. And if you do those things well, you have earned the approval of God. You've earned our stamp of approval. Therefore, you are worthy of the gospel. You are good enough. You are good enough. And Paul's message is very clear. The gospel is unchanging. And we need to know that today. Any message that is contradicted to the true gospel, the saving faith in Christ, is a false gospel. And we need to understand that and know that. And if anyone presents another way to salvation outside of Christ, outside of what he's done for us, again, that is a false gospel. And we cannot confuse these things. The gospel is the good news. And the false gospels that are taught, they are not the good news. And we need to understand that. And Paul, it gets so adamant about this, that even in verse 8 he says, but even if an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Now, Paul is essentially saying that if anyone preaches another version of the gospel that is not true, that is not from the scriptures, that it's not about Jesus, he's essentially saying, even if an angel came and talked to you and told you a gospel that's different than of Christ, that person should be cursed. Can you imagine that? Paul uses this an angel to say, even if an angel comes and speaks in authority that's completely different than the gospel, don't listen. It is not from Jesus. In 610 AD, Muhammad claimed to receive the beginning of the Quran from the angel Gabriel. In the same way, in 1823, Joseph Smith claimed to receive the direction from an angel named Moroni about restoring the true gospel to the world. But both Islam and Mormonism are simply expressions of what? A performance gospel. And we have to understand that as well. They both deny the teaching that we are saved by faith alone. And we are saved. And if the gospel is modified again or adjusted in any way, rhyme, or reason, it is no longer the gospel. It is no longer the truth. And that's why it's really important for us to understand and discern what we're listening to online, what's being said, even if it's very subtle. We need to be having discerning ears. And that's why we're in the Bible. That's why we ask for wisdom from the Holy Spirit, to discern the truth and to know full well what the gospel is. Verse 9, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you receive, let him be accursed. Now, Paul repeats this again for great emphasis to understand that he's making it very clear how serious it is that if somebody is watering down or changing the gospel, he's just simply saying that false teachers themselves cannot show you the way to salvation because they themselves don't know it. So how can someone lead us into salvation in Christ if they don't know it themselves? And Paul is saying they are condemned. People that share a false gospel are condemned. Are you sharing a false gospel with people? Are you sharing the truth of the gospel, or have you twisted the gospel in such a way to fit your own life, your own lifestyle, to justify sin, to make choices that make us feel good? But at the end of the day, we have simply twisted the scriptures, and we need to be warned that when we do that, we are condemned. That's harsh words, isn't it? That's a heavy thought to consider. But that's what Paul is saying. He is clarifying that we cannot believe an altered version of the scriptures. We cannot believe an altered version of the gospel. And that's what Paul is saying. Paul goes on to say, for I am now seeking the approval of man or of God. He's asking that question. And that's a question I have for you this morning as well. Are you seeking the approval of man or of God? Do you want the applause of heaven or the applause of man? And Paul goes on to say, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Now, these are two questions he's asking, and we need to consider this as well, that are we pleasing man or are we pleasing God? And where are our hearts this morning? And Paul is essentially saying that he could easily go along with what's going on with the compromisation of the scriptures and be like, well, I'll just go with the flow because it's a lot easier to do that than to stand up for what's true. And Paul is asking us the same question this morning. And his choice is he was willing to honor God and to please him and not man. And how well do we do that in our lives? It doesn't mean we burn every bridge in our life in a relationship. However, it does help us to consider the choices we need to make. What are our motives? Is our motives only God? Or are we trying to please man as well? And Paul isn't worried about his approval ratings. He's not worried about what people think of him. And as we enter the elections, you can hear these candidates talk about certain things and the way they talk about them. And perhaps they'll say things publicly to draw attention in a way that will show them how good they are just to get your approval. But at the end of the day, they do not follow through. They aren't committed to what they actually said they were going to do. And they themselves have twisted their campaign promises and done something completely different. And we can do the same thing in our faith. We can look around and we want to please people. We want the applause of man. We want to be glorified in ourselves. We want people to think highly of us. We don't want to cause any problems. We don't want to shake any bushes and rattle any trees or anything like that for the sake of the gospel, because that's just too difficult. Why would I put myself in that position? Why would I do that? It's a question we have to consider, and Paul is saying to us as well, we cannot be fickle when it comes to following Christ. And we have to understand this as well. There's no work. There's no way to work our salvation. We cannot outgive God. We cannot outwork God. But there's many people that believe that's the case. And for many people as well, that as we talk about the gospel, and we talk about being saved and what it means to be saved, it's a question we have to ask ourselves deeply as well. And for many people, the gospel for them is the truth of this world. That what makes them happy, what makes us happy, is the gospel. I will take that. I'd much rather be living in my own life and look good and prioritize the things of this world versus the gospel. We can have an image that makes us look good, that we have an online presence on Facebook and all the socials, and look how great my life is. And that's our gospel. We have a career that we love, and we put all of our promises in that career, and that's our gospel. We have money in the bank, and we've been blessed financially, and that's our gospel. We have a family life that looks great, and I've got 4 kids, and I've got it all together, and that's our gospel. And I can go on and on and on about giving us examples of what the gospel might be in our lives. But those things I mentioned and many more, those are not the gospel. Those are not the gospel. That's a hard truth to hear and understand. But we have to be clear about this to understand that the world's definition of a good life versus what the kingdom life is very different. It's very, very different. And we need to understand that we can have a victorious Christian life in our health, in our money, and all those things. But it's not about those things. It's about the gospel. And unfortunately, there's trends in the churches these days that talk about how the prosperity gospel can fill our lives. And they will take biblical words and buzzwords like victory and triumph and blessing and overcoming addiction and freedom and abundance and conquering this world. And that those words can be very twisted in very subtle ways to simply fill a worldly message that is not the gospel. And we see that's what's going on in this book as we see what Paul is saying, that they have given up their faith, they've chased the things of the world, they have twisted the gospel to fit their own convenience, that they have to live in the law. And that's not the case. See, what's interesting when you think about how people have twisted the gospel, and it's about prosperity these days, it seems like, that you have to have the riches of the world. And yet, often we forget, maybe it's a good reminder for us this morning, Jesus was homeless. Do we get that? I think we forget that Jesus was homeless. And what does the scripture say? Luke 9, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And when we look at the gospel, how it's been twisted, that we need to chase the riches. We need to chase things that are about the law. That's not the true gospel. And others will say that if you are struggling financially, if you're sick, if you're not having success at work, you don't have enough faith. That's why those things are happening. This boils down to a simple term, the performance gospel and the prosperity gospel. And we have to understand that because Paul is preaching against these things. And we have to recognize that we cannot outperform God. Are you tired of doing that yet? Are you tired of trying to outperform God? Because we are not in the performance gospel. And when you look at what Paul was talking about, there's conversations going on about when the Judaizers were there, just saying, look at us. We have the truth. And you have to do certain things to earn salvation. And Paul is saying the exact opposite. That the gospel is a free gift of salvation. That we walk in faith, we choose in faith to follow Christ. See, when we are performing for God, it teaches that Jesus can bring you into God's family, but the rest is up to you. You're in, now it's up to you. You better behave yourself, you better do well. And it's not like that. That's not what it's like. And other religions have done that as well, and I want us to understand this, because there's folks out there in our world, too, that have taken Christianity and mixed it with other religions to try to perfect the perfect religion. And down the road, we're going to be called to make some tough decisions about what we believe in as well. And I want us to understand that, too, that most and all, I would suggest, other religions are based on performance or works and the law. And Paul is saying that's not the case. And we have to understand that. It's an important thing to understand that Christianity is based upon Christ. And our salvation comes in and through him, not what we do. Not that we have to have an add-on to the salvation message. Has someone told you recently, Jesus end? There's no end. It's Jesus. Can I get an amen? And if some have told you there's more to add on, that's false and that's wrong. And I want to speak on a couple of these religions out there, because it's important for us to understand that what we have to appreciate in Christianity is a relationship with Christ that's not based upon anything we need to do. Now, having said that, the book of James obviously talks about you need to have faith and works together to show people you believe in Christ, but it's not earning yourself salvation. There's a difference. Judaism, you must obey the Jewish law and custom. Islam, Muslims must practice the five pillars of success. Hinduism, the individual must purify himself from evil in life after life after life after life. And it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. Sikhism, proper worship and conduct must be performed in order to be worthy and to be saved. You have to do things in a certain manner. Buddhism, you must renounce self in order to reach nirvana. Jehovah's Witnesses, they believe that salvation is granted to those who have a combination of faith and works. And when they come to your door, when you see them standing on the street corner, they're doing that because they have to earn their salvation. Mormons who follow the Mormon faith believe they can attain heaven through works as well. And they will inherit a different earth, a different God. They'll become gods themselves. Every single of these religions, the burden is on the human being to do something, to achieve, or to comply with someone or something in order to do what? To find nirvana, salvation, and happiness. And Paul is saying here, you do not need to add to the gospel. Where are you at this morning? Have you added on to the gospel? See, Christianity, again, I've said it before, it's the only quote-unquote religion where the burden of accomplishing salvation rests on who? It rests on God. It rests on Jesus. There's nothing we can do to earn our salvation. And that's an amazing promise for us, isn't it? And the beautiful thing, too, about this salvation we have in Christ, it's available to everybody. It's not just for Christ followers. It's for everyone who wants to walk with Christ. And there's such a joy in the unchanging nature of the gospel. You don't have to reconfigure the puzzle. It's not like a Rubik's Cube where you got to figure it all over again. It's there. It's unchanging. And there's such a joy in that. You can walk in peace to know full well that Jesus has done it all. And we do not need to figure it out again. What you need to figure out is, are you willing to give your life to Christ? And to walk in faith and believe what he's done for you? Now, Paul has used some very strong language in the scriptures here because you know why? He is dealing with, and we are as well, with life and death situations, literally. And I think that's got lost on us, and I'm going to be really honest here. I think it's got lost on us that we have forgotten, perhaps, what will happen at the end of days. There'll be those who will be in glory with Jesus, and there'll be those who will be in hell. And I'm not a fan of the whole heaven and hell conversation, turn or burn and scare you into salvation. I'm not a believer in that, but I am a believer in this, that many are going to suffer. Because the Bible tells us that. Where's our urgency level? Do we really care? And it's a question I have to ask myself as well. If we fully understand the options that are available for people, and we look at being in glory with God forever and the alternate and what that looks like, shouldn't our urgency be up even more so to recognize that there's people we know in our life today that if they were to pass on today, their eternity is already set and they're going to a place that there's no presence of God ever? That should break our hearts. That should make us stay up at night and cry and weep for our family and friends that are far from God. To recognize that hell is real. And no matter what preacher tells you, no matter what book has been written out there that hell is not real, that is a false gospel. That is a lie. Because the Bible tells us it's true. So Paul is preaching and he's saying some things here that are very powerful. Verse 11, for I wouldn't have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor I was taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not man's gospel. And Paul's essentially saying that he's not passing on his religious experience that he learned from other people. He's actually passing on what he's learned because he got it directly from Christ. There is no middleman. Jesus. And for us, we have the scriptures as well. And we know the truth that is there. And I love the power of this scripture here that Paul says that this revelation that he received is from Christ. Verse 13, for you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. So what Paul's doing here, he's essentially saying he knows much more about Judaism than any of his accusers because he studied it. And he's a wise man. He was smart. And after all, what did he do? He persecuted Christians, didn't he? Paul was a zealous young Pharisee. Let's not forget that. And his life changed because of Christ. And Paul himself, after his conversion, what did he do? He didn't go to the apostles. Remember this. After his conversion, Paul went off by himself for 3 years, coming to the truth of the gospel by spending time with God, by God revealing the truth to Paul. He preached in Syria. He preached in other regions as well. And though himself, he'd never met with Peter or any of the other apostles, he was unknown in the region. But he was known for what at the beginning? He was known for hating Christians. And this man who was a persecutor of the faith, went away to learn and found the revelation of Christ, and now he's coming and sharing what he knows. And he wasn't delusioned by anyone else. He wasn't adding to the gospel. He knew the truth. See, the gospel is very simple. Salvation by faith in Christ alone. Salvation by faith in Christ alone. See, Christ completed work is enough for us. Nothing else is needed. It stands on its own merit. It absolutely does. This work-based human effort that we try to prescribe when it comes to the gospel, There's no good news in that. There is no good news in that whatsoever. So if you've come here today and you are trying to outperform God and living your life through work-based faith and salvation, you need to stop. You need to come and enter the joy of the Lord. Come and walk in faith. Remove those shackles of performance and having to look a certain way or act a certain way. Remove those shackles and walk in the freedom that comes in Christ. You will see the joy of the Lord. You will enter the fullness of his joy. See, grace is involved in much more than our salvation. It's how we live. It's how we stand. It's how we're strengthened. It helps us give us victory, helps us persevere. We do not need to add to the gospel. So friends, this morning as we talk about this and as Paul has warned the Galatian church and us this morning, are you walking in the gospel? Are you walking in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you committed to the gospel or are you committed to this church? Are you committed to the gospel or committed to a denomination? Are you committed to the gospel or are you committed to a preacher? Are you committed to the gospel or are you committed to your own way of life? A couple of questions for us on the screen. If they're not there, I'll read them for you. So a question simply is, what gospel have you been turning to? I want you to deeply ask this question yourself. Are you looking at a gospel that is about self-image, money, title, influence? Again, the list goes on and on. What gospel are you turning to? Do you know the true gospel of Jesus Christ? The one the scriptures talk about? Another question for us to consider too. Are you following Jesus or are you asking Jesus to follow you? You're like, well, it's the same question. Actually, it's not. It's quite different. So I want you to consider that for your soul this morning. Are you following Jesus or are you asking Jesus to follow you? In a nutshell, are you asking Christ to adjust who he is so he can fit into your lifestyle, your choices, and how you live? Or are you actually following Christ and being obedient to the call, making decisions that are difficult for the kingdom, saying yes to the kingdom and no to the things of this earth? And when I talk about the no to the things of the earth, I'm not saying there's everything in this earth is evil. However, if we are trying to please God and live in this earth, we're going to have to make choices that honor the kingdom and not the people of this earth, including the morality of this earth, including the choices that are out there. We are aliens here today, aren't we, as Christ followers? One day we'll be in glory, but we're still called to make choices. It's going to be difficult. So finally, again, what gospel have you been turning to? If you've followed the wrong gospel, if you've been adding to the gospel, I encourage you, I implore you to stop. So again, you can live in the joy of the Lord. And if you are asking Jesus to follow you, asking him to fit into your busy lifestyle, I'll get to you later, Lord. We'll say grace at table, but for dinner, I'll fit you in later. These are hard questions, aren't they? I hope you are shaking a little bit. Because when I prepare for these things and I read these things and I search my own heart, I often don't want to come up here. Because these things I have to consider as well. I pray and I hope that as we've gone through this series so far, that you're taking these questions to heart. You're not just hearing it here and then leaving. But you're asking the Holy Spirit to move mightily in your life. So when people see you, they see the fragrance of Christ bursting into your life. that they see you're making choices that are honoring the kingdom. And that we would not, in military terms, that we would not run away or be turncoats to the gospel and run away because someone else is offering something else that is a little easier. That is a little easier to swallow. That is easier to follow. Because when you are all in for the kingdom, when you are all in for the kingdom, you are going to have to make decisions that matter. They're going to keep you up at night, that are going to cause some tears, that are going to cause you to possibly lose some relationships. And that's what it means to follow the truth, because that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. And a time is continuing to come, every day it seems, that we are going to be called to make some serious choices about our faith in the gospel. And are you willing and are you open and are you able, do you think, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to make those choices to say yes to the kingdom? Or will you simply say, I'm good? Because we're not good. We're only good because of Christ. Let's pray. Father, as we talk about listening up, church, I pray that we would. These are not easy conversations, they're not easy words, but I pray that your Spirit would change us, your Spirit would give us great, deep a discernment of knowing full well when we are listening to a narrative or a gospel that has been added onto. Lord, forgive us for the times we have not been in your word. Forgive us when we have tried to live in this world in such a way that instead of living for kingdom values, we are chasing after worldly values. Give us courage, Lord. I thank you in all of this conversation that there's such joy and forgiveness and grace because of you. I thank you that we do not need to stand condemned because of you, Jesus. And I pray for anybody that's come today and or watching online that has been trying to earn their salvation and trying to chase after you in a way that is just built upon performance or works or money, whatever it is. Lord, I pray for release of that in Jesus' name. That as people leave today, the shackles of these things that hold us back, the shackles of the pain and the sorrow and the things we carry would be broken and we'd be free. So Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd move mightily, that you'd change us from the inside out. In Jesus' name.